such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
We're on the air. Are we on the air?
Oh,
hi, everybody. Nice. Welcome. This is what? TGIF.
Yes, TGIF.
Thank God it's Friday.
Wow.
Yes. The gremlins are alive.
Okay. Anyway, welcome, everybody. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ, right? Is that supposed to be the, we're going off the air or whatever?
I don't know.
I'm so confused. And I'm running it. This is parish.
Parish
is
how it goes.
Yeah. Running from one thing to the next, and from here I go to a wedding. So it's one of those days. But anyway, thank God it's Friday. Welcome, Tony, Christina. Armin's
welcome.
Here.
Nick.
This is his last day.
His last day.
After what, 13 years?
Yeah.
13 years.
13.
Wow. 13. That's not a good number.
Not a good number.
13. No, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
Is it 13?
Or is it 11? I don't know.
Well, we're on the air 13 years, so actually probably 11 years.
11, yes. Okay.
11. Right. That's what I thought.
Yeah, yesterday was my father's 13th, the anniversary of his death.
13. Was it yesterday?
It was yesterday, yeah.
Oh, my
wow.
goodness.
And that was right after we began, because we began September 8th, 2010.
Yeah.
Right? That's right.
Because you weren't here, Christina.
I
you
was
were
in Fatima.
Yes. In Fatima.
So as you were starting the program, at
you
the same time, we were at Mass.
Right.
In Fatima.
Right.
Yes.
Who would have thought we'd still be on the air?
And we've and got, Tony's been on ever since. He's never.
Yeah, yeah.
Tony's been with us
ever since with you, Father.
Jerry has come and gone. I mean, really gone.
I mean, yes. Jerry's gone home.
Gone to that beyond that place beyond
home.
The beyond.
And I sit in her esteemed chair.
Oh, that's right. Jerry used to sit there.
That's right.
Yes.
And Clara was on. Remember Clara? Yeah.
Clara.
Yeah. I see her every once in a while.
Right. You
she comes
do?
To church. Yeah.
She comes to Mass.
She comes to Mass every once in a while.
To 10 from time to time.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. But I haven't seen her. Well,
because you're in front.
You're in the front. You don't see her.
Oh, okay.
It's not that often because she comes from way
yeah.
out,
see,
but
she
from
does.
Time to time.
That's
and you
the,
were kind of out for a little while.
Yeah, I was sort of out of commission.
Anyway, so
yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So we've got this is Friday, but crazy Friday for me, and it's been a crazy week. It's been a very, very crazy week.
Yeah.
It's going to be a very crazy weekend, but a good weekend. I've got weddings galore. We got one today and then two tomorrow. And
this is the season.
This
it's
is the
season,
season
the
yeah.
wedding season before
yeah.
the cold.
Well, I much prefer this time of the year weddings and in the summer when
well,
it's really
tomorrow
hot and humid.
Is officially the first day of fall.
Is it really?
Yes.
Are you sure? When did they change that? I thought it was the 21st. 21st.
No, it's tomorrow.
Wait, tomorrow?
The
yes.
meteorologist said it was tomorrow, so I'm just going
well, by. He must be right. I thought it was always the 21st.
That's what I thought, but no, it's the 22nd. No, the tomorrow.
Wait, what is today? I don't even know what day it is.
Today's the 22nd.
The 22nd.
Okay. But the
I
meteorologist on Channel 7.
All right.
It was tomorrow.
Check it. You got to. You guys check that out because I'm almost certain it's the 21st, you know.
Let's check.
But anyway, while you're not while you're doing that, we're going to pray. So put
yes.
that away. Put the phone away and let's pray.
Let's
right?
pray.
Got to pray. We pray for Nick and really called out. We called down. God's blessing upon Nick and gratitude for the 11 years that he's been with us. I mean, really, to talk about a dedicated Man, young man. What?
And that's all. Good night, everyone.
Just ignore it?
Ciao, okay. Ciao.
I'll get you. Well, see, he's leaving us. He's screwing up the whole system over here, right?
No.
But what was it? But no,
it's Freaky
Friday. Talk about dedication.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I can count on one hand how many times he hasn't been here. And when he hasn't been here, it's because reasons of illness or that he had to be at the meeting or something that was mandatory for people.
And he's coming from far, too.
And he comes, and that's right, he comes from around Naperville, I think, or somewhere out there.
Where, very far.
So, but he's been great. He's been a lot of fun, and he's, you know, this is his season, you know, Halloween.
Yeah. It's a good time to go out if you're going to go out.
He's a good Catholic, but, you know, his season is Halloween, you know.
Yeah.
But we always remind him that that's the eve of the Holy Ones. And not that he's into the... But he just loves the holiday.
Right. Loves the season.
Yeah. The season.
The season.
So he's a man who's got the heart
of a child. Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
So anyway, so let's pray for him. We pray that God truly bless him in his new endeavors, his new job, which is, I think, at the college where he graduated from.
Yes.
So, and it's out in his neck of the woods. It's going to be much easier for him. And it's here. He comes here, and then he goes to another studio, and he's all over the place. But we wish him the best, and certainly God's blessings upon him and upon his family, and, you know, whatever the Lord has in his divine providence for Nick, that Nick be disposed and receptive to the ever-active working of the Holy Spirit in his life. Well, let us pray. We offer this prayer for Nick. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech you, Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ thy Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Jesus,
I trust in you.
Jesus,
I trust in you.
Jesus,
I trust in you.
Eternal God, whose mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us. Increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time, we entrust not only the United States, but the entire world and the Church as well to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you, reclaim this land, our nation, the world, the Church, for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us. Touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to great worthy human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that He alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. And trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray, and again we entrust to your care and to your love, Nick, who will move on from here to there, meaning out in his neck of the woods, to another job. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee. O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother, to thee do we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Nicholas,
pray for us.
Pray for Nick. Saint Stanislaus Koska,
pray
for us.
All you angels and saints in heaven,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. St. Michael the Archangel, pray for us.
Pray for us.
We need his need his protection today, as always. So what's the difference between this? Somebody asked me this. What is the difference between the soul and the spirit? When we talk about, talking about the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit, like your Spirit, Christina, your Spirit, Tony, your Spirit, my Spirit, your soul. What's the difference?
Laughing because I wanted to answer. Well, the soul is the soul, and the Spirit is the Spirit.
The Spirit, the soul never dies. The soul lives on. Forever.
But the spirit never dies either.
No, the spirit, sometimes we have high spirits, sometimes we have low spirits. Depends on...
Okay, all right.
The spirit,
I don't know why.
The spirit is inspired.
So
it depends on what mood we
are. Yeah. The soul is the subject of human consciousness and freedom. Mm. So soul and body form one unique human nature. The soul is immortal. That's what you said.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit means that from creation, that creation is ordered to a supernatural something or another. I can't even read my own writing.
Maybe I could read it for you, Father.
Let me read it for you.
I know you're writing, Father.
Probably can. Heart is the death of one's being, where we decide for or against God. So would the heart be associated with the soul or with the spirit? It would seem to me, based on that, the spirit.
The spirit.
Because I'm actually extrapolating from the catechism of the Catholic Church. So the heart, you know, your spirit, your heart. You know, people say you've got a good soul,
mm-hmm.
which could also mean you've got a good spirit, right?
Mm-hmm. Or this person's a beautiful soul.
Your soul is imbued with a good spirit. It's a good spirit. Because what do you say? There's good spirits and bad spirits.
Right.
And so the spirit, the heart is the depth of one's being.
Mm-hmm. Well, when they say, when they say, where is your heart? Where do you feel that your heart is? Is it with God or was it?
Right.
I don't know if it makes any sense what I'm saying. It's interesting. That's a very good question. because it's making, I've never thought about it. It's a very deep question.
It is, really. Somebody just came up after Mass and asked me, what's the difference between the soul and the spirit?
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of been doing what we're doing now. But I thought, you know, how would you define that? So, you know, you mentioned, you just said something about the heart. Because Jesus said, you know, what did Jesus say? When the Son of Man comes, will he find hearts that are cold?
Yes.
Which means that the spirits that are cold, that we have a hardened heart, a hardened spirit, a spirit that is not imbued with the life of God.
That's right.
Can you say the soul is incarnated, not in flesh? No, because the soul dwells within the body.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you could use the word incarnate.
It dwells within the body.
Because
then when the soul is separated from the body, the soul keeps living. It doesn't
die. The soul is immortal.
Immortal. Because
the soul comes from God.
That's what comes from God.
And we all have a soul.
So at the moment of conception, the human person is conceived at conception, a human person comes into existence and is immediately imbued with a soul. And that soul... then, you know, we have to, that soul has to be nurtured.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that it's...
Spirits are good and bad.
Right. You want to make sure that, and that's why, you know, of course, when we're baptized, mm-hmm. we're cleansed. Let's say the soul is cleansed of original sin. It becomes a rather pure soul. But then subjected to the world that experiences the effect of original sin. So we're dealing with this constant tension between good and evil. And where do we, in what direction do we lean? You know, they used to have, when they had sisters in the schools, right, they used to teach that you had on your right shoulder, the good spirit,
and
down on the left shoulder, the devil,
the bad spirit. Or the angel. The angel and the devil.
Angel would represent the good spirit, and the devil would be the bad spirit, right?
That's right. Yeah.
And so...
some people had two devils.
Some did. Well, Roy, I don't know about you, but...
I don't know about you, Roy.
Probably with me. Roy did, but Tony doesn't.
But it is an interesting question because
it is.
But the soul is immortal. So
mm-hmm.
when the body dies,
mm-hmm.
it enters into it decays and it'll be corrupted and decay, and go back. You know, remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Now God, in His omnipotence, will at the end of all things bring the body and the soul back together. The body will be resurrected. So the other question is, you know, if one knowingly denies God, condemns oneself to an eternity apart from God, the soul nonetheless unites with that body that is resurrected at the end of all things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be a soul that is experienced in the absence of God, right? Emptied of God's good spirit.
Good spirit, right? Yes.
the Holy Spirit. Because of the Father and the Son, this is the three persons of the Trinity. Mm-hmm. There's only one God, the Trinitarian God, three persons in one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is a love that emanates from the Father and the Son, the love that the Father and the Son have one for another. That love is the third person of the Trinity, and we're imbued, infused with the Spirit of God, the love of God. God doesn't, as I was reading this the other day, God doesn't love, God is love. He cannot not love. We were talking about that the other day.
Yes.
God can. The only power God doesn't have is the power not to love us. He loved us into life. He is love who created us, loved us into life in his image and likeness, in beauty and goodness. But love requires a response to love. And so we have to make choices, and that's where we need the collective support of one another. That's why Jesus founded the body of Christ, the mystical body of Christ, mystical meaning imbued with the life of God, the very Spirit of God. So anyway, it's a very interesting question. I don't know if we've answered it adequately, but the soul is immortal. Is a soul imbued with a good spirit or a bad spirit, with the Spirit of God? Are we blocking God? Are we an impediment to his divine will, which is to dwell within mm-hmm. us, to abide within us? Do we block him out? Do we push him out? And do we then, again, as I say, as we're going through this great apostasy, this going away, we create a vacuum, and in that vacuum, all these bad spirits come, evil, godlessness. You give free rein to the enemies of the soul, the world that doesn't acknowledge God, that rejects God, the free rein of the flesh, and of course, the devil who does deceive, seduce and creates the illusion and is also the accuser. So if we're not imbued with God's Spirit, if we're not open, receptive, humble to receive God's life, his Spirit, because the Spirit is life, then we create this vacuum whereby we receive spirits other than that Spirit of God, which can bring us, to participate in a very bad way into the disordering of society. I mean, every day you read the paper, my gosh, you read the dark, evil stuff that goes on. Mm-hmm. And how could anybody not deny bad spirits, and that the people have made choices, or they've had, certainly, maybe perhaps through, and that's why we're going to be held accountable for what we did or did not do to the least of our brothers and sisters. How do we witness for them the life of God or the kingdom in our midst, not fully realized only at the end of time, beyond time, but in the interim, the Spirit, the kingdom is come, it's in our midst, but to the extent that we are receptive and docile, open to the inner working of God's Spirit. So our goal is to be able to say with St. Paul, it is not I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in me, to be fully imbued with the Spirit of God, and then to reflect God's thinking, God's sight, God's voice, God's heart, the touch of God. We become sacraments mediating God's grace, the good spirit, light in the darkness. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come right back. I don't know that we adequately answered the question, but I was a little bit stumped.
It's thought-provoking. I mean,
it is.
It caught us off guard, but it made us think.
Right.
Yes.
So, because the bottom line is, what choices do we make?
Mm-hmm.
What choices do we make?
That's right.
Do we make a choice for God or away from God? So tell the students always, when you wake up in the morning, I tell you too, all of you who are listening, wake up, the first prayer, before you can speak a prayer, make the sign of the cross, wrap yourself in the life of the Holy Trinity. It's your entrustment, your surrender. You're renewing your fiat, yes, to God, and get into the work of life. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change, on AM 750 WNDZ.
Laugh, you make me laugh, you make me laugh, you make me laugh, 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 you make me laugh.
Well, that's the whole point.
You've got to be joking.
No, it's about laughing and joking and having a great time. Join us for a night of laughter at St. Stan's Back-to-School Comedy Show, Saturday, October 7th. Door opens at 6 p.m., showtime 7 p.m. Admission is just $30 per person with a cash bar, music, and you must be 21 or over.
Are you serious?
Well, of course. The St. Stan's Back-to-School Comedy Show features the comedy of Jody Baez, Jeannie Dogan, and Alicia Molina. St. Stan's is located at 1255 North Noble. That's two blocks north of Division. On Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. A St. Stan's Back-to-School Comedy Show, Saturday, October 7th.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
The Winds of Change. Winds of Change has an immediate part-time opening for producer board operator. The duties include running the Winds of Change program, assembling the best of programs, working with a host radio station and program hosts, writing the day's program summary for web posting, plus uploading a copy of the day's program to our web-based archive. Familiarity with Adobe Audition is desirable. Also have knowledge of the teachings of the Catholic faith. The Winds of Change studio is located at 1351 West Evergreen Avenue, Chicago, at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish. Work hours are Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Interested parties may submit resumes to adcmedia@hotmail.com. adcmedia@hotmail.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I'm Father Anthony with Tony and Christina and Nick, who's going away.
Nick is leaving.
Armin. Veronica's over there, too, you know, so we're happy to have Veronica here. Want to keep her here. So.
Let's not scare her away.
No, no. We're praying that, you know, she'll stay with us, right? She works for Radio Maria.
Yeah.
I've got two more questions, you know, or this is another question. What are the two certainties of life?
Death and taxes.
There you go. That's it. You got the... I expect Christina to...
I was giving Tony a chance because I'm always answering questions. Wait.
So Nick is here. Let me put him on the air here.
Now, I just thought I might just drop in for a second, your father, and it's great to be here, and it's been a thrill working with you guys and getting to know you, too, and also to be your board op and producer. It's been a thrill and been fun to be with you all the time.
You know, I wrote actually a little letter to you here. It's a very short letter, but you're the best. You really are.
And thank you.
Brought a lot of joy to the studio. You are full of joy, and you brought a lot of joy here.
Yeah.
And,
same here.
You're a fun person.
Good times.
You're most definitely a man. But you've got at the heart of a child.
Yeah, that's true.
And miss that pumpkin hat.
Yeah, that's what most of people are telling me at the Y this morning, that we're going to miss that hat around.
Oh, that's right, because it's not just here that you're leaving. You're leaving other places
I mean, not completely, because I know I'll be helping out with helping Veronica here with some stuff, as well as be part of being, I guess you could say, a consultant and help out with re-airs once in a while, as well as teaching one day a week over at the Y still to keep up and also fill in with possible. But I had to change my schedule a lot differently with things. I haven't given up everything completely.
Yeah, and we're not going to, you know, we're really not going to say goodbye because it's... No.
We'll be in touch. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I said, you're part of the family and... have been for 11 years. It's hard to believe that. But I tell you, and this is to your credit, Nick, really, this is, I think, very rare in our day and time, that work ethic, you know, that you're fully dedicated to your work and you've been here consistently. I can probably count on one hand how many times you haven't been here, and they were for reasons that you couldn't...
help.
Yeah, it wasn't just... You know, I just wanted to take the day off. You know, go twiddle my thumbs or spend the day on the beach or whatever. You know? But it's really rare. Today that's really rare. So I want to commend you for that
work ethic, Father,
and thank your parents because they are.
Yes, absolutely. My mom said the same thing, which is never say never with what's going on too. But yeah.
So you're going to your
alma mater, North Central College in Naperville, working there.
And what kind of work?
office work is what it sounds like. The dietetic program coordinator, which is for their classes associated with their medical department.
Okay.
Wow.
Because everybody thought it was going to be with radio, but no, it's actually with inside the school for one of their other programs.
Do you think you're going to miss the creativity you bring into radio? Because you really
see, because, you know, when the show started, I was, like, reacting fast and working pretty quickly here. It was kind of funny how my final day, I got one last problem to find a way to figure out. But perhaps, but, you know, we'll see what happens.
Before he left.
Yeah, but we'll see what happens. And, you know, I don't doubt my abilities about doing everything, but we shall see.
No, you've been great. You've been great. And, yeah, we're going to miss a pumpkin. I mean, Nick starts celebrating Halloween in
September.
Well, yes. We're still in September.
And thank you very much again, Christina, for that display.
You're welcome.
Christina came in late last night and she decorated.
Yes, I loved it.
It was a lot of fun.
Yes, I loved it. I love it.
So, anyway.
Well, we're going to miss you, Nick.
I'm going to miss you guys too, but I'm not going to lose tabs on you. I'll make sure to find ways to keep in contact when I can. As my girlfriend Amanda said, that, you know, I can come down here and visit sometime or figure
sometime.
Yeah. Like that.
She'll let you do that. Well, you should bring her with you, you know?
If I can, yeah.
I don't think we've ever met.
No, Amanda. You haven't. Because usually when I'm working, she's usually working at these different times.
Yeah.
And she works at the Elmhurst University Library, and she's got crazy hours and evening hours like that too. So she's like, you know, when I get off of work or sometimes she's still working. So that's why it's a little bit rough. But we manage.
And your parents, are they here? Or
they're still here. My dad, he's doing okay after, you know, still dealing with his prostate cancer, but it's like, you know, sustainable. Yeah. And it's numbers are still low and manageable.
That's
so that way he's all right. And my mom and dad, they're doing good. They're going back to Florida soon because, well, it's about that time. But also they are going because when the hurricane struck, they suffered minor roof damage. And they're getting that repaired.
Where are they? In
Clearwater?
Clearwater.
So they were in a non-evacuation zone, as people say. So they didn't have to worry about leaving, but they just got winds and rain and major stuff like that mostly. They didn't get hit like the people on the coast did.
So I was always wondering, so your mother was a teacher by profession. Mm-hmm. Was she your teacher?
No, well,
I mean,
yes,
she was my teacher
in a lot of ways. To answer your question like that, yes, she was in lots of ways. She also, I love you, Mom, but she plagued me with always the major questions during summer school times. Like, she'd always ask me, how many feet in a yard, or how many inches here and there? Yeah. Like, as a boy,
always
you know,
teaching.
Or better yet, half of 50 cents or something like that.
Right,
so she would be like, you know,
teacher.
Making sure that I always knew what certain things are.
Right.
Ironically, I do know how many feet in a yard, 3 feet in a yard, because I calculate that with the swimming pool, which is 25 yards. And if you do that differently, 75 feet.
Wow. Oh,
so thank you, Mom. But yeah, she did teach me there. But she started out as a teacher in Hillcrest, working as first an aide, I think, and then also working with special education kids, and she was doing that, plus subbing. And then in Romeoville, she was given an opportunity to do work as an applied tech teacher, which is working with technology, computers, and different things. And as she told me when I was going into this, she didn't know what she was doing, but yet she learned, and she was able to get associated with it and figure it out and get used to it. She didn't doubt herself either.
So you're, yes, but you were never in the same school she was.
No. Maybe if she subbed and I was in preschool, perhaps, but no, not really.
It's got to be interesting. Like our principal, he's got two sons in our school.
Mm.
Cool.
You know, and Michelle, actually, before
she had her daughters in our school.
So anyway, no, it's really been a joy having you here. And
exactly. Same here.
It's
going to
be
a blast.
A little bit different not having you here, but
I know.
Life goes on and and I don't say this, I say this because it's reality. They say nobody is indispensable, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, it's gonna very hard to find somebody who's got the
skills. You're in good hands with Veronica, and I'm showing her everything, and it's going really well.
Yeah.
And Armin's doing stuff too, so you're in good hands.
No,
we're glad Veronica's here too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we're in God's hands, so you know, we trust that God will take care of us. You know, that
exactly.
He does.
But it's been a joy being here at work. And to know all of you, and it's been words cannot describe how great it's been.
Yeah, no, it's very, very much so. We wish you the best, and really God's blessings.
Thank you.
And you know, the door's always open, and we're always here.
Absolutely.
We'll be here as long as God wants us to be
here. No, I understand, but I get what you're saying. Absolutely, absolutely. And I will keep in touch. I swear, I promise.
No, definitely.
Okay.
Nick, Veronica just told me we got to take a break.
Oh, okay. So
I've got to be a little bit obedient.
Getting right to it. That's good.
Okay, very good. Yeah, absolutely, you know. I've got to learn to be obedient because Nick allowed me to kind of slip by, right?
Yeah.
So, all right, everybody, we're going to take a break here. So, thanks for listening. No, I'm so confused. We switched the thing.
Your father, Anthony.
Yeah, okay, thank you. And you're listening to Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ. We'll be right back.
Laugh.
Don't go away.
You make me laugh. You make me laugh. You make me laugh, 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 laugh. You make me laugh.
Well, that's the whole point.
You've got to be joking.
No, it's about laughing and joking and having a great time. Join us for a night of laughter at St. Stan's Back to School Comedy Show, Saturday, October 7th. Door opens at 6 p.m., showtime 7 p.m. Admission is just $30 per person with a cash bar, music, and you must be 21 or over.
Are you serious?
Well, of course. The St. Stan's Back to School Comedy Show features the comedy of Jody Baez, Jeannie Dogan, and Alicia Molina. St. Stan's is located at 1255 North Noble. That's two blocks north of Division. On Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. A St. Stan's Back to School Comedy Show, Saturday, October 7th.
We are the students of St. Stan's La Costa Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I'm Father Anthony with Tony and Christina. Armin's over here. Nick and Veronica are on the other side. And so the two things that are certain in life is that we pay taxes and die. You were right about that, Tony. And there's not too much we can do about those realities, right? That just is reality. I want to go back a little bit to the quote from the book of Sirach. We heard this last week. I just find it, I'm thinking this might be the wisest sentence written in the whole of sacred scripture. Remember your last days, set enmity aside, remember death and decay, and cease from sin. Think of the commandments, hate not your neighbor, and remember the Most High's covenant, overlook faults. It's very wise. Those are actually two sentences. But
so hard to do.
Hard to do, but you know, Jesus didn't deceive us, right? He said it's a narrow path, it's a difficult path, it is a discipline. The church teaches there are three things required of us in this life. What are they? The church says there are three things required of us in this life. What are they?
Know God, love God, and serve God.
That's right. Christina, what's wrong with you?
It's Tony's day
today.
I'm
reading her mind.
Yeah.
No, I'm giving him a chance.
You know, I think...
I picked that right out of her mind.
No, I think, you know, that the fact that you're Roy, I think we're getting a new side of Tony. So this is going to stay.
Yeah, that was Roy's
speech.
No,
I don't want...
But you're
right. What? I'm afraid because my mom cracks the whip. When I got the answers wrong the other days, she was scolding me.
Really? Yeah.
So I'm letting Tony take
one. Okay. Well, don't be afraid, Chris. Be not afraid.
Because that might be the only one I do get.
No, to know God, to love God, and to serve God, so that we can be happy with God in the next life, right? Our joy in heaven is that during the journey of life in this world, we kept the faith, fought the good fight, carried others into the beatific vision. The beatific vision is a mystical term to describe heaven. It means to see God.
to see God. Scripture says, you know, assures us that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it so much as dawned on man what God has prepared for those who love him. So, you know, this past Sunday was actually Catechetical Sunday, but we're going to observe that this Sunday. And just and really a shout out to all the catechists out there, those who are actually in actually doing the ministry of catechesis. You know, thank you. But we're all really called into this catechetical work because we have to always be reminded the greatest deprivation in life, indeed the greatest poverty in life, is what? What do you think? The greatest deprivation in life, the greatest poverty in life, is ignorance of God.
Yeah, not knowing your faith.
Again, if the church says we're to know God, to love God, and to serve God, the greatest deprivation, the greatest poverty, is ignorance of God. And at the same time, we cannot know God unless we seek God, who is near to us and we are to ourselves. This is really a paradox, isn't it? On the one hand, we're made by God and we're made for God. Yet while he's closer to us than we to ourselves, we must search for him. This is the nature of the exile, because we're in the exile. I love that one phrase in the Salve Regina. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping in this valley of tears. Turn then, most gracious advocate, thine eyes of mercy toward us, and after this our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary, pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. But acknowledging the exile, the nature of the exile is that we're always in this quest, we should be in this quest for God. And until we pass from this life to the next, we're estranged from the Lord, yet he is not estranged from us. He's leading us home, yet in the interim, we have much work to do, in truth. The proof of our love for God is evident to the extent that we are in the work of life. I always say this, always, we're in the work of life, not only contributing to the proper ordering of society, but making disciples of others so that we are on the same page and in the same story. Life is really God's drama, ever unfolding until Jesus comes at the end of all things, when the world passes away and his kingdom is fully made known. By the way, when I had the eighth graders the other day, I was very happy. I'm always happy when they give me back the answer that I'm looking for. But, you know, in the offering of the Holy Mass, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, the Divine Liturgy, the Sacred Mysteries, the Holy Sacrifice, it's a sacred drama. Well, there's only one spectator in this sacred drama. Who is that spectator? And they were able to say, it's God the Father. Who's the principal character? Christ Jesus. And everybody else, including the Blessed Virgin Mary, all the saints and the angels, and we, the militant church in the battle, we're all characters in the story. We're all characters in this sacred drama. God the Father, the only spectator. Jesus, the principal character. So he's leading us home, yet in the interim, in the exile, we have work to do. We have a lot to do. The proof of our love for God is evident and to the extent that we are in the work of life. Again, not only contributing to the proper ordering of society, but making disciples of others so that, as I say, we're on the same page, in the same story, in the same drama. Life is really God's drama, ever unfolding until Jesus comes at the end of all things, when the world passes away and his kingdom is fully made known. And this really is the mystery of all mysteries, isn't it, when you think about it? That the cosmic upheaval, ever a reality to varying degrees, and the day-to-day assault to the mind, the body, the soul, and the spirit are in the nature of the exile. But God knows the story, and He'll see us through the turbulent seas, uncharted territory, the dry of the desert, the dark night of the soul. It's an adventure we accept because we have confidence that God is with us. By the way, just as I was saying that, I was just thinking, you know, because what do we say when we receive the Holy Eucharist? We're receiving the body, the blood, the soul, and divinity. Body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. The body, the blood, the soul, and divinity. And all this by the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. So we have to impart to others the knowledge of God and to proclaim the good news that life is a gift well worth living in spite of the trials and tribulations. All things, the scripture says, all things end well for those who love God. In fact, you know, even when you think about it, the distresses of life, if endured in God, bring wisdom and interior peace. Our Christian faith, if we live the faith with authenticity, is never an escape from reality. It's really an entering into reality. We get into the trenches and we fight the good fight. We commit our lives to one another in spite of our rough edges, our idiosyncrasies, our quirks, and even our sins. It seems to me that, you know, we've got a, this is the realism, right, of life, because it was never meant to be easy. I say that so often, you know, Jesus never deceived us. The world will deceive us. Satan will deceive us. The flesh will deceive us. God never deceived us. So it's a work. It's a sacred drama. It's a holy work. And we've got to, you know, again, wake up in the morning, make the sign of the cross, wrap yourself in the life of the Trinity, make a bed, get into the work of life. I we're going to take a break here, but I value that. My father, and I was actually talking to a psychiatrist the other day, who
by choice or
by choice, no, good friend. I mean, I consider okay, him. Yeah.
He was a parishioner.
Yeah, he was. Right. I consider him a very good friend, and he's a very wise man, mm-hmm. very wise man, very young. I knew him as he was a student, mm-hmm. and he's out in the suburbs. But he happened to he wanted to come to St. Stan's, and he used to come to the evening mass all the time, and. So we met, and he's just a very, very wise man. But he said something that my father said, you know, and when he's dealing with people who have all kinds of, because what's lacking so often in the lives of so many people today is discipline and structure.
Absolutely.
And he says, if I just tell them, you know, just take baby steps, but do something, make your bed. I said, you know, that's what my father told me that. It's the one thing he told me, and I swear to this day, I bet you there's never been a day in my life when I didn't make my bed. The first thing, I make the bed. And he taught that to me, and it just kind of sets the trajectory
for the
day.
You know, when I make my bed, Father, I feel like I've accomplished at least something.
Right.
To just start the day, something.
And keep your room clean.
As
he said, make your bed and keep your room clean. You know, let's start there.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, we'll take a final break and come back and wrap up. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change, AM7 WNDZ.
Winds of Change has an immediate part-time opening for producer board operator. The duties include running the Winds of Change program, assembling the best of programs, working with a host radio station and program hosts, writing the day's program summary for web posting, plus uploading a copy of the day's program to our web-based archive. Familiarity with Adobe Audition is desirable. Also have knowledge of the teachings of the Catholic faith. The Winds of Change studio is located at 1351 West Evergreen Avenue, Chicago, at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish. Work hours are Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Interested parties may submit resumes to adcmedia@hotmail.com. adcmedia@hotmail.com.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
The Winds of Change. Here is an update on the Fulton Sheen petition.
We Catholics stand just inches from the goal line to have the saint we desperately need now, Venerable Fulton Sheen, publicly declared blessed. Yet new obstacles keep arising to delay this from happening. The Diocese of Peoria is now requiring the unanimous support of the U.S. bishops behind the beatification of Fulton Sheen before a new date is set for the ceremonial Mass. This has never been necessary in the Church's history. The Fulton Sheen Movement's petition drive to set a new date soon for Sheen's beatification Mass now has 10,000 Catholics from around the world clamoring for this. We need this voice magnified by hundreds of thousands more Catholics. And you can help us do that. Take action. Go to FultonSheenMovement.com and sign the petition and share it everywhere, because everyone agrees we need Blessed Fulton Sheen now more than ever.
Bye now, and God love you.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony as we wrap up on this Friday. By the way, you just reminded me, and I saw I got the message this morning that Father Coy's, his mother, passed away. She was in her 90s, so our condolences to the family, and we pray for his mother. I don't remember her name.
I don't know.
She was on one time.
She was on.
She was on the show.
Yes, she was.
That's right.
Very sharp.
Yeah, I got to get a word out to him. I wish I could be there for the funeral, but there's no way tomorrow.
Yeah.
So our condolences and our prayers with Father Coy's and his family as they give a sacred farewell to their mother. You know, I tell people now at funerals, it's...
Remember her name, Father.
What is it?
It's Mrs. Coy's.
Mrs. Coy's. Mrs.
Nice.
Coy's. Okay. That was really funny, wasn't it?
We're going to have to talk to her later.
Right. What was I going to just say?
I'm sorry. That's okay. I cut you off.
No, you
say it at funerals.
Oh, you know, it's just somehow we morphed into this idea that, you know, the funeral is a celebration of the person's life. And when we come to Mass, this is not a celebration of this person's life. It's a sacred farewell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a celebration of God's life, that in God we have life. So we're celebrating the life of God, you know, Jesus who came, redeemed us, went down into death, took us down through death into new life. And so we celebrate. We would have no cause for celebration if not for the atoning death of Jesus. And so it's a sacred, and it's amazing how we morph into these ideologies or these things that kind of, in a sense, they take our attention away from what is really central to the beauty and the depth of our faith. I get the idea that we want to celebrate the life, and you can do that. You know,
it can happen at
the reception, it can happen at the wake, and other people can talk, and
we're at home with
people,
the family.
But when we come into the Mass, this is a solemn, sacred farewell until we meet again, and it's a reminder that we have to remain in God's grace.
I know I've heard aunts and uncles, or even parishioners, that say, "When I die, don't you dare canonize me. I need prayers. I want you to pray for my soul. I need masses." That's what they say.
Yeah, that's it's good to hear that, because but I think it's people who really adopt more of a secular mindset.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand the concept of sacrifice and the necessity of death, but that there needs to be a lifelong preparation. Which is, by the way, isn't that how we started the last sentence in the Book of Sirach this past Sunday? Again, remember your last days, set enmity aside, remember death and decay, cease from sin, think of the commandments, hate not your neighbor, remember the Most High's covenant, and overlook faults.
Mm-hmm.
So life should be a preparation for our Passover, passing over from this world into the next. We're not condemned to be here forever. And yet, because we know our destination, we're committed to life, and our love is, by its very nature, should be sacrificial, which means it's not egocentric, but it's other-centered, God-centered, and therefore
I think, of what, who I am in relation to you, and what am I doing to help you to make your way through this life into the next. So it goes back to this idea of catechesis or discipleship is a work of us all. It's a daunting task when we deem ourselves lacking in the skills to impart to others the knowledge of God's story and the mysteries that are inherent in the unfolding drama. For this reason, you know, we're consoled by the words we're going to hear this Sunday: seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. The point is, God wants to be found. And as I've already said, he's near to us and we are to ourselves. And we're further consoled in the knowledge that the thoughts of God are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. We'll hear this as well. I quote, "As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways and my thoughts above your thoughts." In other words, God knows us. He knows our limitations and weaknesses, yet he assures us of his nearness to us and his desire to work in us and through us in spite of us. He needs our goodwill to know him, to love him, and to serve him. We need only forsake our selfishness and turn to the Lord for mercy. Because as Jesus, you'll hear this in the Gospel on Sunday, it doesn't matter at what hour of the day or what stage of our life journey, he wishes to bestow generously his life and ours, that we in turn plant and cultivate the seed of his life in others. And that's really what it means to be in the work of life, right? And in today's the first day. What is this, you saw that old saying, you know, that today's the first day of the rest of your life. Well, what does that mean? But, you know, today's the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad, right? That's probably right out of the scripture, I think. But that we take it, you know, no matter where we've been, this is the whole message of the divine mercy. No matter how steeped in sin you may have been, you know, I stand here waiting. You've been unfaithful, but I remain faithful. Just don't deny me, because if you deny me, I deny you. You deny me knowing me. If you know me, and God will give us the grace sufficient to know him, but in knowing him, we deny him. He denies us because he has to respect our choice. Life is about choices, you know? So we pray, you know, Lord, ignite within us a fire, that our lamps burn bright as we set out to tell the story and draw others into the adventure of your sacred drama. May we conduct ourselves in a way worthy of your gospel. May our lives become catechetical, proof to others that we've offered ourselves a living sacrifice, pleasing to you, our spiritual worship, having been fed with your sacred body and your precious blood. Let us become what we've consumed. We ask, O Lord, that you reproduce your life in us, that others come to know you, and in knowing you, they will love you, and in loving you, they will serve you. Because you really don't serve what you do not love or who you do not love, and nor do you love who you do not know. And so the key is to know God. And knowing God, hopefully you will love him. And if you don't, there's a problem. And in loving him, you will serve him. All right, everybody, thanks so much for being with us. Bon voyage, Nick. God bless you, really, sir. Brother, it's really a blessing having had you here. May Almighty God bless all of you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace. Peace be with you, child.
See, can you see, can you see? each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide.